It's baffled scholars for two millennia. It is a puzzle made of multidimensional elements. An enigma with roots that reach back to the dawning of time, perhaps before. Daniel explained part of it. Ezekiel and Isaiah had glimpses into it. John saw it all for the time of the end. That time is now. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert on a journey that spans the course of history. From Eden to Mount Hermon. From Hermon to Babel. From Babel to Rome. From Rome to the cross. And from there to us. Biblical prophecy is coming true before your eyes. And to understand it, you must discern the times both then and now. It's time to unravel the threads of this all-encompassing prophetic paradox. It's time to unravel Revelation.
The Angel and the Little Scroll. Welcome to Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and guess what? I have dark hair. Yes, your eyes do not fool you. You've not gone back in time. Sometimes my hair just... I get bored. What can I say?
Sweetheart, it looks beautiful.
You know, you are just beautiful. The sweetest man in the world. He said, if I have no, and I've had, there have been times when I've had, you know, no hair because I just buzz it off. But my husband, you know, he sees the real me. And in fact, I want to tell you really briefly, the necklace that I'm wearing belonged to his mother. His mother is now in a retirement home. Mm-hmm. And we have lots of her stuff here. And I was very happy to get to inherit this for a little while. I'm wearing it, and perhaps her granddaughter will one day want it. But it's all hearts. So I feel really close to Shirley right now by wearing this.
Well,
and because it's Valentine's Day.
Well, and absolutely. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, honey. And you are my heart.
And we understand that Valentine's Day has certain connotations that are not biblical or scriptural.
But, we talked about it last time.
Yeah, each day. If you're married, you've got a spouse. Dads, let me just suggest this. Take time, if you've got daughters, to tell them now how pretty they are and how special they are so that the first con man who comes along and tells them that doesn't sweep them off their feet.
Oh, yeah. And take your daughter for a Valentine's date.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't have to be once a year. Just do it randomly throughout
Daddy,
the year.
Daddy-daughter stuff.
Exactly right. So anyway, wise pastor once said that. That kind of took that to heart. So,
amen. Well, today we're back in Revelation. We're going to 10. We finally finished up 9.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to 10, and I don't think we're going to get very far in it.
Well, there's a lot of things. There are a lot of things to unpack. And as always, as we go through, we find references or things that make more sense now that we understand the divine counsel understanding, the divine counsel concept of viewing the Bible through the eyes, to the best of our ability, of the prophets and the apostles. They understood, as the early church did, that the pagan gods of the nations were real entities.
Mm-hmm.
We may think of them as fallen angels, although that term is probably too loosely applied, but that's a good way of beginning to understand the concept. And so these entities that many of us in studying Revelation and end times prophecy in the past have tended to view as symbolic are actual entities.
They are. In fact, we're about to meet a very, very powerful one.
Yeah. Well, let's begin. Revelation chapter 10, okay. Beginning at verse 1. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head, and his face was like the sun and his legs like pillars of fire.
Well, this isn't one of those entities that you want to meet.
No, very powerful, obviously. There are some who suggest that this might be Jesus, although you wouldn't describe the Messiah as an angel.
No, and John has already seen Jesus and recognized him, so I think he would say right here.
Yes, yes. This angel does share some similarities in the way he's described. And also imagery of the Son of Man from Daniel chapter 11, mm-hmm. Daniel chapter 7, that is. But still, I think if this was the Messiah in view here, that John would have said so or made it clear.
I think so, too. And again, I could understand from the description why some people would say this is probably Jesus. But again, we've seen Jesus. He is standing in the throne.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just... the point being that as we are approaching here the seventh trumpet, which is going to unleash a lot of bad stuff on, yeah. on an unrepentant world.
Yeah.
And this is in the prelude to that. Verse 2, he had a little scroll open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and called out with a loud voice like a lion roaring. When he called out, the seven thunders sounded. And when the seven thunders had sounded, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down. Now, this is interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, the right foot on the sea and the left foot on the land.
Yeah, very, very important.
Symbolically, this, I think, suggests the power of the gospel, the power of God.
Controlling the entire earth, but it might also have to do with the entity Yam, who has Judge Nahar,
mm-hmm.
who is the land bodies of water,
mm-hmm.
and the sea itself, which is Leviathan.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're all connected.
And there are some who would suggest that it refers then to Leviathan and Behemoth, which would seem to be a land monster in counterpoint to Leviathan, the sea monster.
Yes, entirely possible.
Yeah.
I like this, the fact that we see the angel here. You can almost hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Roaring like a lion, speaking, and the seven thunders are separate. He's not issuing sounds of thunder. The seven thunders sounded.
Mm-hmm.
Like these are entities. They're Bronte, as in the Bronte sisters. It's Wuthering Heights.
Or Brontosaurus with a thunder lizard.
Well, yeah, thunder lizard, yes.
What interesting, though, there are a number of passages in the Bible where God is described as sounding like thunder and roaring like a lion
yes,
as well.
Exactly, which is another reason why a lot of people think this is probably Jesus. And that is entirely possible, but it does seem odd that John wouldn't identify him
yeah.
as Jesus.
Right. One of the references in Scripture that I thought was really interesting, where God is described as thundering and over many waters, is Psalm 29, because this is one of those psalms that makes it clear that there are more entities in Scripture than in the spirit realm than we are normally taught.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we believe that there's God and Jesus and some angels and the devil and maybe some demons, but they're not really at work. That's kind of what most churches teach today, just sort of a very fuzzy angelology, demonology. Right.
Divine realm. Or
but the Bible,
heaven.
Yeah, but the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches a much more complex spirit realm than mm-hmm. we've been taught. And Psalm 29 reads this, ascribe to Yahweh, and that's, you know, capital L-O-R-D in the Scripture, ascribe to Yahweh, O heavenly beings, ascribe to Yahweh glory and strength. Now, who are these heavenly beings?
Yeah.
The heavenly beings are the B'nai Elim, which in Hebrew literally means sons of God, and that is a phrase that, when it's used, refers to these angelic beings who make up part of the divine council, mm-hmm. sort of the royal court in heaven.
Yes.
The other place where this phrase is used in Scripture, B'nai Elim, is in Psalm 89, verse 6, where they are condemned for judging unjustly. These are the entities, at least the ones in Psalm 82, mm-hmm. rather Psalm 82. In Psalm 82, those are the ones that God essentially has put on trial and condemned for not overseeing God's creation, earth, and humanity,
yes.
judging rightly. And though you are God's sons of the Most High, like men you shall die and fall like any prince.
So in a way, this is like Parliament, or even the Privy Council, which is a smaller group that generally is made up of very powerful men and women. Now, it used to just be men, but beings
mm-hmm.
within that realm. So God holds them accountable.
Yes, he does. He does.
Just like he's going to hold our human government leaders accountable,
mm-hmm.
not just Parliament, but, you know, the various Diet and the House of Commons. Sorry, that's part of Parliament. And Congress.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you name it. And he is going to hold those individuals accountable because they had more say over what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And Bible teachers. Teachers held accountable for what we teach.
There's no doubt whatsoever. If
yep.
you are given more, then you're responsible for more.
Absolutely. Verse 2 in Psalm 29 reads, "Ascribe to Yahweh the glory due his name. Worship Yahweh in the splendor of holiness. The voice of Yahweh is over the waters. The God of glory thunders Yahweh over many waters." So again, this picture of God and the waters there is Mayim rather than Yam. But the point is that this is a common theme throughout Scripture. I just thought this reference in Psalm 29 was interesting because of the reference to God in that context. And the spirit beings in heaven, his divine counsel said, pay attention and give him the glory that he is due.
Amen to that. Well, read the next few verses because I think you're going to find out why another reason why we don't think this is Jesus.
Yeah.
Four.
Verse 4, "And when the seven thunders had sounded, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down. And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and what is in it, the earth and what is in it, and the sea and what is in it, and there would be no more delay, but that in the days of the trumpet call to be sounded by the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be fulfilled, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets."
Exactly. So the very fact that this being swears by Yahweh, swears by God Almighty, who lives forever, what had no beginning, will have no end. I don't think Jesus would do that.
No.
Now,
when he was in the flesh as fully human.
Yes, he might have, but this is... He is part of the, he's back in his proper home.
Yes.
He is in charge again. So, no, but let's go back to verse 4. And this is why we're not going to get very far.
Ah, the seven thunders.
Seven thunders. But he says in verse 4, "Seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down." Now, previously, John had been instructed, write down what you see. What has been, what is, and what will be, write it and address it to the seven churches.
Right,
now,
right.
Now, essentially, he's, and we're going to see another book, by the way, later on, but he's been told, don't create a book. Don't write this down. Now, historically, the people of Israel have written down everything.
Yes, yes. They were very meticulous about writing it down, especially when it came to the Word of God.
Yes, yeah. And also keeping... essentially accountable generations, knowing who begat who, begat whom, begat who. You need to know in order to, and it wasn't ancestor worship, but because we talked about that before. It was more an idea of who really is part of what tribe. The tribe you belong to, and even the septs within the tribe, we would, you know, call them sort of clans and then sub-clans and various septs, little divisions of that tree, branches of that tree. That's really important, where you come from. And so these genealogies were extremely and very finely kept. But more than that, other books were kept. And if you just look up the word book and just go to blueletter.org. I go there a lot. I love it.
Blueletterbible.org?
Yes. Blueletterbible.org. Sorry. Just in the word search box, just type in the word book. It will tell you that in the KJV, you get 188 times that English word book is used. Now, these books are extremely important. Many of them are referring to the books of the law, but some of them refer to a book. And let me see if I can find it. I think it's in the Job section. But it has to do with the book that's created about you.
Oh,
Before your daddy even thinks about you. See if I can find it in Job here. But book is in here over and over and over. And the other thing you see is references to books that don't exist.
Or that have been lost.
Gad the Seer.
Yes.
But lots of other books.
Jubilees.
Yes, the Book of Solomon, and it doesn't refer to the wisdom.
The Book of the Wars of Yahweh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so will we ever have access to those? Are we going to discover them in a cave one of these days? Seriously.
Job 19, verse 23.
Oh, yes, go ahead and read it since you have it.
Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me.
Isn't that wonderful? Sadly, that isn't the one I was thinking of, but I love that one.
Yeah.
I do love that one. It may have been elsewhere, but the fact is that, and I read it to Derek earlier, so he can verify that I actually found it. I will just say this, and then he can go ahead and start commenting, and I will see if I can find it. But I think it may have been in Psalms, but it's the idea that God has known everything about mm-hmm. you. He knows exactly how you'll be formed physically, what may happen to you physically later on. You might be, have an illness or be in an accident, whatever. He knows everything about your life. He knows every choice you're going to make. But it doesn't mean that you don't have free will. It does not mean that. The book about your life was written long before he ever said, "Let there be light." He's always known it.
Mm.
He has always known it. But you still have free will. The Lord simply knows every choice you're going to make. But as I emphasize in King's Gambit, hold her up right here, Romans 8:28, he works all things together for good. He's got a master book that he's got every one of our chapters in, every one of our little books going to this master book. And he is creating it all for good.
Mm-hmm.
When he said, "It is good," he wasn't kidding. Everything is going to be worked together for good, and at the very end, he will pronounce it, "It is good."
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a break. I think I found the verse that you wanted to talk about, but we'll discuss this, a book that has kept track of everything that you have done, and the Lord has that in his throne room, believe it or not. That and more when Unraveling Revelation continues after this.
Millions of Americans are suffering a health crisis epidemic right now, completely unnecessarily. But what if I told you it didn't have to be this way? The truth for many is that the real culprit of modern disease is simply a lack of God-given knowledge. In Unlocking Eden, we provide hopeful, scientifically supported revelations regarding how you can access freedom from the bondages of disease. SkyWatch TV is proud to announce the Unlocking Eden Special Collection. From the importance of detoxification, circadian rhythm, intermittent fasting, and unburdening metabolic pathways to maximizing immunity, methylation, and absolute essentials like quality sleep, Unlocking Eden is filled cover to cover with groundbreaking information that can help unlock the body's natural healing mechanisms, which can revolutionize your health and your life. In this incredible special collection from SkyWatch TV, you'll also receive the Unlocking Eden companion DVD, featuring the entire 4-week television series on Unlocking Eden and special content with my co-author Daniel Belt and I on securing some of nature's most powerful antiviral nutrition during seasons of virus, flu, and so much more. We're also including the never-before-released special edition Eden's Essentials publication featuring special reports on gut health, chronic pain and sleep management, fermented foods, and so much more. You'll also receive the Eden's Essentials Founders Vision DVD, featuring interviews with Dr. Thomas Horn and Daniel Belt and I on our vision to provide nutrient-dense supplements derived directly from non-genetically modified foods, grown from clean soil free of pesticides, herbicides, and biosediments to achieve the highest degree of health possible. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $150. Yours now for a donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So revolutionize your health, maximize your immunity, and restore your vitality. The Unlocking Eden Special Collection, available now at the SkyWatch TV store online. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Here are the upcoming conferences and events featuring the team from SkyWatch TV. For a full list and complete information, log on to skywatchtv.com/schedule. Or download the free SkyWatch TV mobile app for iOS, Android, and Amazon Kindle Fire tablets. Welcome back to Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
Hi, I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we're sitting here with my, I've got my ice water in my cup, and you've got your coffee. So, by the way, coffee in Israel. Oh, boy.
Ooh, yeah, the hot coffee, but also the iced coffee.
Well, it's all good. It really is. In fact, you go from various iced coffee booths, and they'll all say, ours is the best.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all
And they're all right.
They're
which is the amazing
right.
thing.
It's also so very good. I want to remind you, go to skywatchtvstore.com and you can get some great deals on our mini books. Our newest, and the one Derek and I wrote together, Giants, Gods, and Dragons, is available there. And if you already have it, go to amazon.com and give us a review, and that helps other people who aren't familiar with Skywatch TV to find it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so we can get any kind of great feedback, although we appreciate it.
Truly
It really is to help people outside the choir, so to speak, to find us. Also, the Red Wing Saga Book 7 is only available through Amazon, but you can get the first 6 books through the Skywatch TV store for a great deal, and all the proceeds go to Whispering Ponies Ranch.
Mm.
So go to skywatchtvstore.com.
Yeah.
And if you want to go to Israel and find out the great coffee I store hot, go to skywatchinisrael.com and you'll find everything, because we're going back in October of 2021.
Yeah, it's a tour like no other, and you'll get a complete breakdown of sample itinerary, breakdown of the costs, and more. Also, putting together some little sample video clips from our previous tours, which you'll find at that page, skywatchinisrael.com, just to give you an idea of what you'll see when you join us in the Holy Land.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, I think I found it. It's Psalm 139, verse 16, and I'm reading from the ESV. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. In other words, no part of me existed yet, physically. And yet, Yahweh, our Creator, knew every cell of my body, knew every act I would ever take, knew every response, every free will choice, how people would treat me, and he has worked all of those things together for good. I believe that all of the books about each one of us are chapters within a great master book that at the very end, God will work it all together for good.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, too, that the idea of the book and having our deeds and our destiny, as it were, written down in a book is written throughout the Bible. I mean, we see just references. We could do in just an entire program in the idea of the book. But in the book of Revelation, of course, you've got John in chapter 1 being told to write down what he sees in a book, to send to the 7 churches. The book of life is mentioned in Revelation 3, Revelation 13, Revelation 17, Revelation 20.
Well, in Psalm 69, verse 28, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Hebrews 10, verse 7, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, and it was written of me in the scroll of the book. So this is, a common thread that is woven throughout the Bible.
Exactly. So books are very, very important. John knew this. He wanted to, you know, it reminds me, if you've ever heard Tom Horn tell his story of being taken up to heaven and his body being frankly dead to his poor wife, Nita, who for 20 minutes was trying to revive him. Tom went up there and he was given visions. And he was told, you will not remember this. It's sort of like being told, don't write this down. Tom was not able to remember it when he came back. He knew what he'd seen, but he couldn't remember the details. And since that time, there are times when he sits up, bolt up, just suddenly sits up in bed, and he has it. It's like suddenly it's written before him, and he remembers one thing he was told out of the many things he was told. So the idea that you go to heaven, can you imagine going to heaven and being told, you're not going to remember this? Worse, don't write this down so other people can see what it was you were told. So,
distressing. Yeah.
Why was he told you can't write it down?
That's a really good point, because it was not to be revealed until the time was right. And that's what Thomas said, is that these things have come back to him when it was time. And he has said that, and I can see this, I can recognize this in myself. If you knew at the age of 25, for example, that this is what you would be doing 35 years in the future, would you just accept it and allow life to take its course, or would you start working towards that goal and then, being human, totally totally make a mess of it?
Oh, absolutely. And the Lord gives us a lot of information about the future. Some of the information he's given to the prophets was fulfilled to the letter on the exact day.
Mm-hmm.
That was to prove that the prophet was a true prophet.
Yep, yeah.
But the things that you and I and all of you are experiencing now in these very last breaths of the final years of the world as we know it, these things, if we had been told exactly, how would we have behaved?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's better to be told the season than here on this day of your life. Imagine being told, okay, on the fourth day of the next month, you're going to die.
Yeah, it would totally change how you would behave between
really
now
would.
And then. The other thing, too, is, and this gets back to the idea of the divine counsel, is that God, if he was that precise about what was to happen at the end of the age, we're already warned of a deception that is so insidious and so convincing that even the elect will be deceived if it were possible.
Yes, exactly.
If it were possible. But God, being the Lord of armies, you know, Yahweh of hosts in the Old Testament, is the greatest general in all of creation, and he will not divulge his plans until it is time. Even the apostles didn't quite understand the prophecies of his first coming. We will not understand perfectly the prophecies of his second coming any better than they did until, probably, we see him in the clouds coming with great glory, or until we're called up. You know, however this all plays out in the end, because God is not going to tell the fallen realm what he plans to do until he takes the field.
Exactly. And I'm really, really glad you brought this up, because we see in verse 7 that the Lord is fulfilling a hidden prophecy, a mystery.
Yes. Yes.
And all of that is a mystery because he doesn't want the fallen realm to know.
Mm-hmm. And there are things that are coming out now that suggest that texts that, as we've discussed, that help give the Bible context from the pagans around ancient Israel. We're living in the first generation to have access to these, and it could suggest that we are living in the days of this final revelation.
Oh, amen to that. We'll continue our discussion next week about books and the idea of erasing history and why books are so important, not just for the average person on the street, but for prophecy scholars and for you at home.
Mm. And we thank you for watching. This is Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV.
Unraveling Revelation is part of Skywatch TV, a viewer-supported ministry. To learn more about Skywatch TV and the work of our sister ministry, Whispering Ponies Ranch, please visit our website, skywatchtv.com. You can support us through your prayers and by taking advantage of the special offers at skywatchtvstore.com. And please join us for our weekly study of the Bible, verse by verse, in chronological order, online at gilberthouse.org.